All right, I'll ask you to open your Bibles this morning to the book of 2 Corinthians, which is where we started on Monday. But I'll ask you to open to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I tell you, it has been a blessing to be here this week. And I am so thankful for those of you that have introduced yourself to me and the opportunity that I have had. I wanted to come here, and I actually canceled lunch with some of the faculty and staff and administrators that they had originally scheduled for me. Not that I didn't want to go to lunch with them, but I really did want to get in and to be able to interact with the student body just to get to know you a little bit. And that's all. I want to thank you for the encouragement that you have been to me. I want to thank you as a preacher for the response that you have given to the Lord throughout this week. And I want you to know that I'm going back to my little church in Garner, Clayton, North Carolina, and I have been revived. My heart has been stirred, and I have been challenged by many of you. I was in the car late on Monday night and picking up my daughter from work, and when she got in the car, she said, "Dad, what's wrong?" And I said, "Well, nothing's really wrong." And she said, "Well, it seems like something is wrong." And I said to her, "Michaela, your dad does not deserve the opportunity to be here. I don't deserve the opportunity to have 4 days to preach God's word and to challenge you in the areas that we are talking about this week." And I've been overwhelmed at that, and I want you to know that. And I have been so blessed, and so thank you from the bottom of my heart to Dr. Jones and to the administration for allowing me the privilege of being here. And I look forward to getting to know many more of you today and tomorrow as we're here on campus. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Here Paul was writing to the believers in Corinth who had been influenced by false teachers. We mentioned this to you on Monday. And the false teachers had come to Corinth attempting to undermine Paul's teaching and defame his character. And right in the middle of his explanation and his defense of his ministry, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul breaks out in praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. He was overtaken by the fact that God had saved him and called him to be a minister of the gospel. And beginning in chapter 2, verse 14, and really continuing all the way down to chapter 7, verse 5, Philip Hughes says in his commentary about this section of 2 Corinthians, Paul begins an outpouring of spiritual wealth unsurpassed in any other of his epistles. Paul is able and was able to look above and beyond his troubles and praise and thank God for all that God had done for him. And I wanted us to notice this morning, I want you to draw your attention to Paul's words here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. Notice with me, follow along with me as I read. The Apostle Paul says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life." And he's overwhelmed by this. He says, "And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. All right, I'm going to end this week by asking you the same question that I asked you on Monday. If you're here today and you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then you know and you've been reminded that you have been reconciled to the God of the universe. If you're here, you know Christ as your Savior. You're not ashamed to identify yourself with Him, and you've been reconciled to God. You're saved. Would you just stand to your feet? And I just simply say, amazing. Absolutely incredible that God, out of all the people that roam the earth, that God, in His sovereignty, has reached down from heaven and He has allowed you to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and at some point in your life convicted your heart and drawn you to Himself so that you can stand as a student body, almost all of you today, and as faculty and staff members, and say, I am a child of the King. I've been reconciled to God. We also have learned that at the moment you are reconciled to God, that He gives you a ministry, and your main ministry in life is now you have the ministry of reconciliation, that God has left you here on this earth for one primary reason, and that is for you to go forth, and as you go forth into all the world, we are to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What's so amazing is, as an ambassador, as we learned on Monday, of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that God, in his providence and in His sovereignty and His plan, has called you and me to be a representative of Him. And He is able to take you and me, as simple and as sinful as we are, and He's able to use us to share a message of life unto people and use us to win people to Christ so that they can be in heaven one day and be reconciled to Him for all eternity. I want to remind you, I hope you'll never forget it, that this is an amazing ministry that God has given to us. You may be seated. The reason I go to this text this morning is because I believe what Paul is dealing with and talking about in this text is this amazing ministry of reconciliation. What Paul was so thankful for as he breaks out in praise and thanksgiving here at the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 2. He was thankful for the ministry that he had been given in Christ. He was thankful for the amazing ministry of proclaiming the gospel. And that is really what I want to leave you with this morning. The title of my message this morning is just simply, The Amazing Ministry of Proclaiming the Gospel. And I want to draw your attention to five things from this text of Scripture today. I know so far I've shared a lot of stories, and a lot of my messages have been illustration, and part of that is because that's what they wanted me to do. But today we're gonna spend a little bit more time in the text, and I really want to try to deal with this text, so I hope that you will follow along with me, because this passage of Scripture is truly life-changing. I want you to notice, first of all, as we look at this amazing ministry of having the ministry of reconciling people to God, of the ministry of proclaiming the gospel to lost souls, I want you to notice, first of all, in verse 14, the ministry of sharing the gospel. I'm just going to simply say it this way. The ministry of sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is a victorious ministry. Look at verse 14. The Apostle Paul says, Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. I want to draw your attention to that word triumph. Paul uses in this text the metaphor of a Roman ceremony called the triumph. And in a Roman triumphal processional, it was like a ceremonial parade, if you will. If you went downtown and you were standing on the sidelines and there was a parade that you observed, this would be similar to that. And what would happen in this Roman triumphal processional is the victorious general, after he went out for battle, would lead his captives through the streets as a public spectacle to all the onlookers that he had gone to battle, that they had won the battle, and now he was coming back into the city, he was coming back into the town, and it was really a victory parade. And victory was celebrated. And so the people would gather in the streets. If you read more about these triumphal processionals that generals would have as they went out and won battle, then what would happen a lot of times is people would gather in the streets and they would bring roses and flowers and all kinds of branches and stuff like that. And a lot of times they would throw them in the street. And the soldiers would come marching by and the horses would come trotting by. And a lot of times what would happen as this triumphal entry was taking place, this processional was taking place, this parade, if you will, is there was this aroma that came into the air. This sweet aroma of victory as people were celebrating that their general had been victorious. And I believe what Paul is saying is we as Christians who are God's former enemies have been overcome and taken captive by him and are led and displayed by him to the world. Not just on a passing occasion, but every single day of our life and everywhere we go. From the moment of salvation until our glorification, the believer is on exhibition as a trophy of God's amazing grace. The reason we as believers are able to be a part of this triumphal processional is because we are simply, and Paul puts it this way, we are simply, this is amazing, in Christ. The only one accepted before God is Christ. Through faith in Christ, perfect work of atonement, which we talked about on Monday, his perfect atonement on the cross, the Christian, once he is saved, is justified, seen by God, just as if he had never sinned, and incorporated, as the scripture teaches us, incorporated in Christ. And at the moment we trust Christ as Savior, we become God's captive, subdued by God's mercy and God's grace, and we are then able to be exhibited before the world as children or captives of the King. Maybe we could say it this way. The scripture also teaches this in a number of places. We are now his slave. You realize that? Do you understand that every person out there is a slave? You're either a slave of the devil before you get saved, or after you get saved, you are a slave of God. And what Paul is amazed with in verse 14, he says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ." And he's talking about no matter what we go through, even if the false teachers were against him and trying to discredit his ministry and saying to people that he was some insane fanatic, trying to discredit his character, trying to discredit his ministry. Paul says, I am so thankful that, you know what? Because I am on the winning team. God is my emperor and I am his slave. And by his grace and mercy, he has saved me and he's made me part of his captive. No matter what happens in this life, guess what? We are more than conquerors through him that loved us so. The Apostle Paul, as he is thinking and amazed, wow, God's called me to be a minister of the gospel. God's called me to be a minister of reconciliation. He's thankful because he says this ministry of sharing the gospel is ultimately a victorious ministry. Secondly, I want you to notice what he also says in verse 14 is that the ministry that God had given him, remember this word, was influential. He had the opportunity to have influence. Look at the text. He says at the end of verse 14, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge, this is amazing, by us in every place. What Paul is saying here is that as believers, we are a fragrance. In a triumphal processional, incense was burned. And as I mentioned, flowers were thrown down on the streets and trampled by the horses. The smell of this incense and crushed flowers permeated the air of the city. And Paul, when he uses this word, he says, the savor of knowledge by us. The idea of by us is through the believer, those who are God's captive, what happens? Maketh manifest. It means to diffuse or spread abroad. The word savor is the Greek word, which means fragrance or aroma. What Paul is saying here is believers are saved and called by God to carry the sweet fragrance of the gospel around the world. And he's amazed by that. He says, I can't believe that I have this victorious ministry and I've been called by God to be reconcile others to himself. And what God desires for me to do is God desires for me, I can have influence. And the way that I can have influence is because of the message that I carry. And the message that he's talking about here is specifically the message of the gospel. The knowledge of the gospel was manifested like a pervading fragrance wherever the Apostle Paul went. He was able to have a fragrance when he was chained to a Roman soldier. In prison, you know what Paul was? Paul gave the fragrance of the gospel. And as believers, we carry with us the sweet message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're a sinner. You deserve hell, but Christ died for you, and you can have forgiveness. And everywhere we go, as we share the message of the gospel, then what happens is we permeate the air. We permeate our neighborhoods. We permeate our workplaces. We permeate our cities. We go there so that when people see us, and so when we share the message of the gospel with them, that what we're doing is we are giving them this sweet savor smell. And this message of the gospel has influence. Do you realize that God can use you to influence people for eternity? That through your life and through your message, that God could use you to save souls, to bring people to himself? And that is God's main desire for us. I'm truly amazed. I am truly amazed. As I look back, 2 weeks ago, we celebrated our 7-year anniversary service at Community Baptist Church. I am amazed at all that God has done in the last 7 years. We have seen by God's grace in the last 7 years, we've seen over 100 people that have made professions of faith. When I get up on Sunday, let me tell you something that really keeps me going. When I get up on Sunday and I look back at the sound booth at our little church of 150 people now, 7 years later, and I see a man sitting back running our sound by the name of Paul. And I remember the second service that we had at Community Baptist Church, how he came forward and received Christ as his Savior. You know what that says to me? You know what? This ministry's worth it. I look out to my left and I see Susan on visitation, our first week of ministry, some of our first fruits. She trusted Christ as her Savior. Her mom-in-law visited our church a few years ago. And while she was visiting our church, 70-some years old, she walked the aisle of our church, and we were able to lead her to Christ. I look back at the back. I won't call her name in case they listen to this message, but I look at the back of our church, and I see another lady in our church who just 2 years ago came to our church. She was hooked on drugs. She had had a life of prostitution. She had been in jail. And the gospel message penetrated. The aroma of the gospel penetrated her heart, and she gave her heart to Christ. I love having this lady in our church because you never know what she's going to say. She's real. I was preaching one time right after she got saved, and I was talking about anger. And I was challenging our believers, you know, and I was giving an illustration about, you know, what if this happens to you? And when I said, what if this happens to you? She shouted out in our church in the middle of my Sunday morning message. She said, I'd punch him in the face. I said, Nana, come on. I called her name. I said, come on now. You can't do that. You're a Christian now. I could go on and on and on. And I could share with you over the last 7 years how God has used our little church of 150 to spread the aroma of the gospel so that people could come to know Christ as Savior. And I'm sharing with you this morning that this ministry that God has given to us, you know what? It is a victorious ministry, but it is a ministry of influence. Thirdly, and very quickly, notice verses 15 and 16. Paul says, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and them that are perish. The idea of sweet savor here is, again, fragrance or good scentedness. Here Paul continues his metaphor as God is pictured as the emperor at the end of a triumphal procession. He smells the fragrance of the gospel message of Christ that has been presented by his children and is pleased with the victory that has been won. And what Paul is saying in verse 15 is he says, for we are unto God. Not only are we as believers influential in the lives of people for eternity, but you need to understand this. If you want to please your emperor, if you want to be pleasing to God, let me tell you what you do with your summer. Let me tell you what you do with your life. If you want your emperor to smell the sweet fragrance of your life and see you and look on you and be pleased, let me tell you what you do. You go out and you share the gospel. And Paul is saying this, that when we, sinful people, share the message of hope that can save people, that God looks down from heaven and he sees his captives and he is pleased. He's pleased at the obedience of his children just to do one simple thing. Tell others how they too can be reconciled to him. That's it. And you know what's so encouraging about this passage of scripture? The Bible says here in verse 15 that when we share the gospel, that God is pleased. But I want you to notice what else it says. Look at our text. He says, for we are unto God a fragrance, a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. Notice the next verse. To the one we are a savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And then he says this, and who is sufficient for these things? Now follow me. There are two responses every single time we share the gospel. Sad to say, one response is oftentimes we see one response a lot more than another response. And this is what discourages us. What Paul is saying here is when you and I go forth as a slave of the emperor and we share the gospel, whether the gospel is accepted or whether the gospel is rejected has no bearing on whether our emperor is pleased. Because as you go out and share the gospel, it's not your responsibility to save. And I want to stop here and pause for just a second. I want to let you know, because I've talked a lot about going door to door and witnessing and these questions and all that. That is just one way of one of many ways of witnessing. And sometimes we get discouraged because we make an attempt to share the gospel and we share the gospel with someone that they don't like it. They share the gospel with someone and it's really uncomfortable. And they say, I don't want to hear that. Well, listen, you need to understand today that it's not your responsibility to save. It's God's responsibility to save, but it is your responsibility to share the fragrance and the message of the gospel. And whether someone accepts it or rejects it, I'm grieved when they reject it. Don't get me wrong. My heart is burdened when they reject the gospel. But my responsibility is done at that point. That has helped me more than anything in my evangelism. I don't have to go and twist somebody's arm in order to get saved. I don't have to have a 15-minute invitation and try to embarrass people to come down the aisle. I cannot pressure people to get saved. There's only one person that can draw someone to Christ. That is the Holy Spirit of God. But you know what I can do and what the Bible says I should do? We learned it on Monday. I plead with people to consider the gospel. I share the gospel all the time. People say, I'm not ready. Or no, I don't want to make that decision. And I say, well, please, I beg you, don't wait too late. Because if you die tonight without trusting Christ as your Savior, where are you going to go? And they'll say to me, I know I'd go to hell. I say, that's serious. The ministry of sharing the gospel. This is encouraging. I come here or wherever I go, and if God allows me to share the gospel, I'm not responsible for your to the response. Whether someone accepts it or rejects it, that's up to God. My responsibility is to give people a clear presentation of the gospel and show them how they can get saved. It relieves all of the pressure off of us. And every time that message goes forth, you know what? Your God, your emperor is pleased. My time is up, and I have two more points, and I'll just give them to you in closing here. What Paul says is he is reminded of the amazing ministry that he had. He ends verse 16 and he says, and who is sufficient for these things? And the obvious answer there in the text is absolutely none of us. You don't deserve to be a captive of the king. You don't deserve to be a part of his army. You are not qualified in and of yourself to go from this place and wherever we go and to have such a ministry of influence that can actually change people's lives and actually can lead people so that they can have eternity in heaven. You and I are not worthy of such an amazing ministry, but God, in his grace, has given it to us anyway. Isn't that amazing? And finally, in verse 17, Paul teaches us the ministry of sharing the gospel is a ministry of truth. He says, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. The idea of corrupt there is peddling the word of God or being a huckster or being a con man. He says, we're not like people that are trying to con others to corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. And what Paul says here is, when I go forth to share the gospel, I am amazed that God has called me as his captive to make such an influence on the lives of people, to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with them. And every time I share it, I know that my emperor is pleased. But you know, I can take comfort in the fact that what I am doing when I share the gospel is I am sharing with people and telling people what they need to know. It's the truth. And I leave you with this morning. People need the truth. People need the truth. They're going to get mad oftentimes. And I say this all the time to people, sir, ma'am, I'm not trying to make you upset. I'm not trying to make you angry. But sir, I love you enough. I love you enough to tell you the truth. And if you are depending upon your baptism or your good works or your church attendance in order to get to heaven, I'm sorry, sir, I don't want to make you mad, but I must tell you the truth. You will never make it to heaven. Please consider Jesus Christ. Will you go? Do you understand your purpose in life now? Mainly one thing. God reconciled you to himself so that you would be busy about the ministry of reconciliation and sharing the sweet savor of the gospel, the sweet fragrance of the gospel, to have an influence on people's lives for all eternity. And when you do, your emperor is pleased. I challenge you this morning. Would you make a commitment? Right there where you're seated today, would you make a commitment? As you look at me, eyeball to eyeball, would you make a commitment today that you are not going to get distracted this summer? That wherever the Lord sends you, although you are unworthy to carry this message, that you understand that this summer, God has put you in a place so that you can be a minister of reconciliation. I want to challenge you practically to do two things. Number one, I want to challenge you to make a commitment that you're going to go home this summer and you are going to give out at least 5 gospel tracts every single week. That's one way to give out the gospel. 5. I also want to challenge you to say this, Pastor, I am going to strive this summer to at least share the glorious message of the gospel with at least one person every week. You say, why would you challenge us to do that? Because if you do that, God is pleased. God is pleased. I think you could do that. You say, Pastor Mike, I'm here today. I've listened to these messages. Don't stand if you don't mean it, but I am willing to make a commitment. I'm going to strive this summer to give out at least 5 gospel tracts and to strive to share the gospel with at least one person. I know that's not easy. Don't stand if you can't make that commitment. Say, Pastor Mike, I would be willing to do that. If you're willing to do that, would you just stand to your feet? I believe our God, the Emperor, is pleased. Dear Father, would you help us to do what you've called us to do? Thank you for the privilege you've given me this week to challenge these students. And Lord, I make that same commitment. And I ask you that you would use us as we go from this place all around the country and all around the globe. Lord, would you use us this summer to have an influence, to rescue people from hell, and to see them, although we're unworthy servants, to see them trust Christ. And we'll praise you, our Emperor and King, in Jesus' name, amen.